You're with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast on 3CR Community Radio. That was the Specials with a message to you, Rudy, remembering the passing of Terry Hall, frontman for the Specials. We were listening to the speeches given at the Change the Date rally in Devonport on the 26th of January, and we are now going to hear a chat I had with filmmaker Alex Siddon in July about his film The Art of Incarceration, focusing on Indigenous prisoners at Fulham Detention Centre and their road out through art. You say it's a humble film, but we see through the eyes of Indigenous prisoners at Victoria's Fulham Correctional Centre, right? Now, that's actually not an easy thing to do. So how did this project come about?
Well, thank you. It came about, I just started making short films, just documentaries about people I'd met, after sort of always having visions of it. And then I sort of wanted to do a feature, and I became very interested in this issue and this absolute, humanitarian crisis surrounding Indigenous incarceration about, 2015-ish, and thinking there wasn't much film or, documentary or literature or whatever around it. And then soon after, I met Robbie Waramanda, who had recently been released from a prison sentence, and is quite a striking and hulking presence himself, former super heavyweight world champion fighter and 160 kilos of tribal tattoos etched across his neck and hands. And I struck up a friendship with him, and he went on to become one of my best friends and a father figure and a mentor. And we spoke about the project, and he'd been doing art inside prison through the Torch program. So that pushed us in the direction of this film being a possibility. And then I was given permission through a very long process to go into Fulham and speak to the inmates. And it was there that I met Christopher Austin, who was the elder in the unit and one of the other lead subjects. And he sort of, the screws took me up to him, and I walked through the whole prison, which was a pretty hardcore experience. And I got there, and Chris told me to have a seat, and we had a bit of a yarn. And he was really supportive of the film, and the boys getting to tell their stories. And he then called in, 30 prisoners, and I spoke to the group, and then we organised the screening of some other films just so they could get a feel for who I was and what my work was like. And it really happened from there, to be honest. So I suppose, to answer your question succinctly, it was really about friendships, friendships and amazing connections and mutual respect and desire to connect and tell this story.
Yeah, yeah, and it comes across that way I was really taken by, look at the statistics. You actually start the film off with that 3% of the population is actually Indigenous Australian, but they account for 27% of adult prison population. And Indigenous youth, 55% of young people in detention. And that takes us back to something that really came out to me, which was that because they... there's a whole generation of Indigenous male children who have been incarcerated for being unruly children. And basically, and then left with a long trek into prison without any skills for supporting themselves.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely
shocking.
Right. I mean, it's harrowing. And the stories I would hear only reinforce not only the injustice, but the absolute brutal reality and the institutionalisation, which we're alluding to. You really do see that. I feel, from what I observed and what I was told firsthand, the inmates lose their confidence, their ability to participate in society and feel like a contributing member of that society upon release. So it's a bit of a game that, commit offence and come back, and in prison they've got somewhat of a community and somewhat of a structure, and as brutal as it is, through their pure strength they can survive in there, more so than what is perceived on the outside. So it's just that tragic perpetual cycle. And through the subject of Chris Austin, who is another great friend of mine, we really do see the breaking of that cycle. Chris had been in the system, he had just turned 12, and he was sent to Parkville for being uncontrollable.
Yeah, in inverted commas, it's called uncontrollable.
That's right.
Yeah.
I remember when he told me that, and it was just a bit of a pause, and I obviously didn't want to offend him, and it was obviously, you know, I just met him, and I was in his cell, and there weren't many screws around. It was pretty intense, and I was sort of, could you elaborate on that, sort of uncontrollable, because, you know, being a non-Indigenous man myself, I was like, you know, how can you be locked up for being uncontrollable?
Uncontrollable, yeah.
He just said, if you went to court once or twice, that was the term that put you in there, made you water the state for being uncontrollable.
Yeah.
And I mean, wow. And that's common of his generation as well. And he ended up serving, you know, I think it was 37 years. The longest he spent on the outside, 9 months, from the age of 12 to 38, I think it was, or 48, sorry, 12 to 48. The longest was 9 months in society. So how can the system be working or productive or intuitive to growth if, you know, that's the numbers that have been presented through, you know, through Chris's life story? It's tragic.
Yeah, it is. It is tragic and common. That's the worst of it. I mean, it's calculated.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it really was common for a lot of the artists in there, because they, you know, obviously a lot of participating in the program, to have been to Parkville or Malmesbury or another youth detention, you know, maybe New South Wales or wherever they may have been. So I think it was actually very common. I think there was only a couple of the boys in there who I spoke to who hadn't been to juvie. So, I mean, that's a harrowing story, and there needs to be so much more done for young offenders. And especially when you hear their stories and there's all those, you know, common variables of unstable housing, you know, lack of mentorship, guidance.
Yeah.
You know, minor offences. Minor offences, then jail time, institutionalisation, and then the offences grow. And it's not good for the society, and it's not good for the individual, and it's something that we need to change. And, you know, I hope this story, in a small way or maybe even a big way, can push that momentum and that energy and that perception forward.
There's a quote, Christopher is attempting to forge a better future, and this is his quote: "In the past, I was a crook, you know, a jailbird, but now I'm an artist. My daughter is so proud of that. I never used to think of myself that way." It just says it all, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I remember Christopher, one of the first times I spoke to him, he spoke about doing art for the first time in the unit, you know, obviously facilitated by the Torch and their amazing work. And he was saying that he felt uncomfortable when people were saying that they like his art. And I was like, well, what do you mean? I was pretty confused. He was like, I didn't know what he was trying to say. He was saying, oh, you know, when people say they like your art and that, it's a bit weird, you know? I was like, what do you mean? And now we joke about it. He was really saying that he felt awkward getting a compliment.
That's right.
You know, getting some encouragement.
Yeah.
Because he'd never experienced anything through his life. And I thought, you know, if you compare that to my own white existence, of being educated and the other side of the spectrum of fortune, I just could not believe that. And we laugh about it now, you know, in good grace and good taste. But, yeah, I think that says it all. Yeah.